Thank you so much, students. What a joy it is to stand before you graduates, parents, grandparents, other family members, siblings, friends, the faculty and staff of this amazing academy, and this very gracious church that has made it so. If we haven't had the opportunity to meet, my name is Bobby Lewis, and I have the joy of serving here as pastor, along with a wonderful team of men and women. And though we've only been here about 5 months, we really feel as though Grace is home. And as your valedictorian just said, this truly is a family. So thank you for embracing us, not only as pastor and wife, but also with children of our own at GCA. We've been through two such high school graduations and one college graduation. We have three daughters and a son. And so parents, I know if you feel at all like I felt, your heart is about to burst with joy and pride, excitement, maybe a slight tinge of anxiety as the page is turning or you have to start writing college checks. I understand. But I want to bring you a very, very brief message of encouragement. I've been to a number of commencements in my life, and truth be told, I can't really remember anything anybody said at any of them. So I thought we would keep it very simple. And quickly, by show of hands, how many of you have ever heard the 23rd Psalm? 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Every one of you grads better raise your hand. But very few of us actually know the 24th Psalm. Also written by a shepherd boy who would become a king, someone who started so humbly but would do such great things. Of course he fell, of course he stumbled. We all do in many ways. And yet, inspired by the Holy Spirit, David would write these words in Psalm 24. "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." Then he asked a very profound question. "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place?" And then he answers, "He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." Now listen carefully, graduates. Because this is the cry of David's heart. And whether I am your pastor or not, this is my cry for you to the Lord. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. And then he does what we often consider a musical interlude, Selah. Pause, reflect, think on that. He would continue in the psalm, but I'll stop there. And I want to give you two words that I want you to remember. I think that's a whole lot easier than most addresses. So two little words that I want you to remember. They both start with the letter R. The first is right, R-I-G-H-T. Not as opposed to left, but right, as in doing the right thing. Ethics, morality, the Christian walk, right. The second word is real. Some of you may remember early in this final semester of yours, I was able to come into chapel and share a message with you. I even showed you some eggs. I'm very much a visual learner. You may remember that I said you need authenticity. All of those eggs looked the same on the outside, but you may recall one was hard-boiled, and I said, don't be wishy-washy. One was hard-boiled, and I said, be solid. And then there was one that was raw, and I said, don't be wishy-washy. And then the third, does anybody remember about the third egg? It was empty. Looked the same as the others on the outside, but it was hollow inside. And so today I want to talk to you about being right and being real. By the way, that comes through another R word, a relationship. A relationship with the one true and living God who made all that there is. David knew this. David knew because he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He was a shepherd and he knew what it was like to trust the Lord as his personal shepherd. In fact, if you pay attention to the personal pronouns in the psalm immediately preceding, listen, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." Do you hear the personal nature? And it would continue. And so we see that he begins Psalm 24 saying, "The earth is the Lord's, all its fullness." Graduates, listen carefully to me. Everyone you have or ever will love. Everything beautiful your eyes have or ever will behold. Every good and perfect gift comes down from God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, the redeemer, the sustainer. Every beat of your heart as you sit in that chair, every breath that fills your lungs, every blink of your eye, a gift from Almighty God. Acknowledging who God is, David would go on to ask this great question: who may ascend the hill of the Lord and who may stand in his holy place? Who can possibly have a real personal relationship with God? Who can enter God's presence? He is God. He is holy other. He is creator. He is sustainer. How can we possibly have any relationship with him? And he answers, "He who has clean hands, do the right thing, and a pure heart, be the right person." But it's really not about you, because you have to keep going. You see, David says also that he not only wants purity of hands and purity of heart, but he would say, you can't lift up your soul to an idol. In other words, there's no God besides our God. It's the first and great commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. God is first in all things. And so he says, don't lift up your soul to an idol, and don't swear deceitfully. So, as I was saying this morning in church, your life and your lips have to match. The tongue in your mouth has to match the tongue in your shoe. The walk and the talk must go together. But now pay very close attention to the next line in the text. This kind of man, this kind of woman, this one who is a person of integrity, not just on the outside with the things we see, but on the inside and with our thoughts and with our lips, keeping God first, this kind of individual shall receive blessing from the Lord. Receive blessing from the Lord. And he or she shall receive righteousness from the God of his salvation. Notice I use the word receive and not earn. Today, you are earning a diploma. You have worked hard. Through blood, sweat, and tears, you have done it. You are here. Congratulations to you. But when it comes to salvation, it is not that which is earned by self-effort. You cannot be good enough. You cannot be smart enough. You cannot have enough money. Just because your grandfather may have been a pastor for many years, or your dad's a deacon, or your mother sings in the choir, no one gets to heaven on the coattails of another, for God has no grandchildren. You are either God's child or not. And so, you must receive this blessing from the Lord. You must receive his righteousness. Let me give you a hint about the word righteousness. Just take the first five letters of the word. R-I-G-H-T. The easiest way to define the biblical word righteousness is not only doing the right thing, but being the right kind of person. And so I want you to be right. First and foremost today, I want you to be right with God. Parents, grandparents, siblings, family members, and friends, I want you to be right with God as well. You will never be the real person God wants you to be until you are right with your Creator. You say, "Pastor Bobby, how can I be right with God? If you said I can't earn it, if I can't be smart enough, if I can't work hard enough, how can I be right with God?" The Bible makes it very clear. What did Jesus say, class? "I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me." You see, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Today, more than anything else, even before they receive their diploma, we want you to receive a free gift. It's a gift called eternal and abundant life. You can receive the righteousness of the God of your salvation. For he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross in our place, to pay the price for all of our mistakes, our sin, our transgression, those things which separate us from Almighty God. Because can we be honest with one another? Not everybody keeps clean hands and a pure heart all the time. And God's standard is perfection. And so you can trust in the finished sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, where they took his life, but no, Jesus said, no one takes my life from me, I willingly give it. And so we re-see the story with eyes of faith, recognizing Jesus gave himself willingly. They buried him in a borrowed tomb, and by God's power, 3 days later, he broke the bonds of sin in the grave. He rose victoriously, as we just celebrated last month. If you will put your faith in the finished work of Jesus, the Bible says you will have life eternal and life abundant. You can receive this righteous gift from God. You can be right with God today, the God who created you. You can be right with him. You can have an eternal home waiting for you. You say, well, Bobby, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how hard my life is. You don't know how many challenges I've had to face. You'd be right about that. But I know one who does know what you've been going through. In fact, when his own closest followers were troubled, for his death was imminent, he looked to them in John 14 and he said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. Jesus would go on to say he was going to prepare a place for his followers. And he said, where I go, you know, and the way you know. But isn't there always a doubter in every single group? Guaranteed, with this many people in the room, there are some skeptics, some doubters. Old Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? You just quoted it. What did Jesus say? I am the way, and I am the life. You see, Jesus is the only way to be right with God. And if you're right with God, I want you to be real with one another. Students, I told you that one of the things that's most important for me as a pastor is that I would be transparent, that I would be open, that I would be honest with you. I've had seasons of my life that I wasn't walking with the Lord. And let me tell you, one of those seasons when I was your age in your place right now, doing shows for a secular company, traveling around, being out of church, being disengaged from a family of faith. I remember the first date when I went out with my wife, who's now my wife, and I said, well, I can be spiritual, but I don't need that church stuff, and I don't need to have all that formal religion. I have my own relationship with God. And the truth was, I was wrong. Church doesn't save you, but a family of faith keeps you grounded. So I implore you, if you're going to stay real with God, as you're right with God, then you need to stay grounded in your faith. You know, sometimes we as Christians look pretty good from a distance, but we often don't want to let people get too close to us. And it's often hardest to share the truth with our families because they know our real flaws. They know when we fly off the handle. They know when we say and do things we shouldn't. They know when we argue like crazy, even going to church and step out of the car and say, good morning, brother. I mean, they know. I want to leave you with something, because I think oftentimes it's what we see that we remember even more than what we say. Unfortunately, it's seen better days. It's an actually, anybody know what that is? Somebody asked me in the back when I was coming in, is that a peacock? No, it's not a peacock. It's actually a turkey, and you know, I've used it for so long that it's finally nearly given up the spirit. So if you'll excuse me for just a minute. Much better. Any hunters in the room? It's a turkey decoy. Now, not a very good turkey decoy, I must say, but it's a really old turkey decoy. We call this a Jake, in fact. It's a young male turkey. You notice by the very short beard that it has. A tom or an old gobbler would have a much longer beard. But you normally stake one of these out with a hen, a female turkey. And the big boy comes along and he looks across the field and he sees this teenager hanging on to his woman and he begins to strut. Males do that too in the human race. And so he comes over and he wants to start a fight with this guy, and that's where the hunter, well, you know, the hunter does what the hunter does. But here's my fear. Sometimes in life, we, even as Christians, we look okay from a distance. We could maybe fool a few folks, but listen to me. The truth is, we're just full of hot air. We're not the real deal. I may not know it. Your brother or sister may not know it. Even your parents may not know it. But God knows today if you're right with Him. God knows if you're real with Him and if He's real to you. So I would encourage you, graduates, don't be a turkey. Be the real thing. First, be right with God. Keep your hands clean. Keep your heart pure. Keep God first. Keep your tongue on track. All of that there in Psalm 24. Be real with God and one another. And finally, let me simply leave you with this. Be a generation who seeks God's face. Be a generation who goes out and changes the world, not for your glory, but for the good of others. Not so that you can be praised, but so that God can be glorified. Be a class that rocks the nations. You say, Bobby, you're crazy. We can't make a change in such a big place. Tell it to the 11 called disciples who went out and rocked their world with the truth of Jesus. You can be a world changer, but you got to be right. You can be a world changer, but you got to be real. And don't worry about letting people get close, because when they get close to you as a child of God, they'll see you're no decoy. You're the real thing. I'd like to pray for you. Father in heaven, it's a great honor to stand even for a few minutes before these graduates, before their family members, before our Grace family. It's a great privilege to join with this faculty and staff. And Lord, as we seek your face, we acknowledge that you are our Creator God. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. You made each and every one of us special and unique and in your image. And you desire authenticity from us. May it start by us being right with you. We are right only through a relationship with Jesus Christ, received by faith. But not only do we want to be right with you, we want to be real with others. What they see should be what they get. Our yes should be yes, and our no, no. I am praying for this group of young men and women that they will be mighty warriors in the kingdom of God, that they will change East Tennessee, change the United States of America, change North America, and change this world with a gospel message. It is a transforming message because we have a transforming Savior. He has changed my life, and I know the path I was on, but you rescued me from that in your love, in your mercy, in your grace. And you have rescued many in this room. So let us be right with you and real with one another, even as we love you with all of ourself and love our neighbor as ourself. Bless these graduates today and all who are present. I pray in the most precious name I know, the most beautiful name I know, the strongest name I know, the name of Jesus. And God's people said, Amen.